What do I say? Hey guys, welcome to our podcast, Heist and Slice, a true crime podcast where 1 week we talk about a slice and the next we talk about a heist. Tonight, it's a heist. And I'm Nora.
And I'm Shelby.
Take it away, Shelby.
All right, so tonight is an interesting one. Dun, dun, dun. Yeah.
Give it to me.
So, it's going to be great. Let's just get into it. There's a lot of words I can't pronounce, so.
That's our favorite.
Let's get to it. All right, so we're going to talk about Andre Stander.
Andre the Giant.
No, Andre okay. Stander.
Stander.
Yes. Andre the Giant, no offense, could not get away with this stuff.
Because he's so everyone knows who he is.
I think that's Andre over there. Okay, anyway. He was born November 22nd in 1946 in South Africa. He's a white man.
That's where I was born.
In South Africa?
No.
Girl.
Continue.
The fuck?
Sorry. Outbursts.
He was born November 22nd, 1946, in South Africa. His dad was Major General Franz Stander, and with pressure from his dad, he kind of had to pursue a career in law enforcement.
Pursue.
Now, this is a time in South Africa where apartheid was in height, so it's a system of legislation that upheld segregation policies against non-white citizens of South Africa.
Okay.
So you can imagine, not great times. But if you're a white man,
great times.
So, with pressure from his dad, he enrolls in the South African Police Training College in 1963. He graduated top of his class, even though he wasn't a great student. Kind of probably helped from his dad. And then,
But how was he a top student?
Probably pressure from his dad.
Okay.
His dad had a lot of influence because he's a white man in South Africa, and he was a major general, and he was a big name.
Okay.
Got it. Father with connection. Yes, and he wants his son to follow in his footsteps.
Okay.
And his son doesn't want to follow in his footsteps. Now.
Daggone, she was serious. If y'all could have saw her.
In his personal life at this time, he had married a woman, had a kid, didn't want to have anything to do with the kid.
Oh, okay.
They go through a really, really messy divorce. Get remarried.
And that's somebody else.
They get remarried for like 2 months and then go through another really messy divorce. So he's got a double ex-wife and a kid he has nothing to do
double
with.
Double ex-wife? That's a double-edged sword.
I mean, what do you call it? Ex-wife twice removed?
Yes.
What is it? Is it that one?
Just your ex-wife.
Okay. Two times.
Oh, God. Okay. Two times. Ex-wife.
Twice removed.
Double ex-wife.
Yeah. All right. So, you know, his personal life wasn't that great. He also fought in a war. I can't remember what war because I didn't write it down.
Is that for research? You're supposed to fight.
So he was trying to get back into civilian life. And with help from his dad, because his dad, you know, is a name in South Africa. That's respected. He becomes the head of a criminal investigation department in Kempton, South Africa. Now the fun part.
Fun part.
Okay. At age 31.
People are going to start dying, aren't they?
Which, I'm almost 31. God help me.
You aren't even 30 yet.
I'm less than a month to 30.
But you're still not 30.
Sweet Jesus.
Stop trying to age me.
All right. Are you ready for this?
Yep.
Share the birthday so people can give you a shout out.
99.
Do you want to take a guess? You want to take a guess of what's going to happen?
People are going to die, I hope.
This is a heist, not a slice. Why do you hope that?
I don't know. I find it interesting when people die. So sorry.
My therapist says we shouldn't be friends.
It's probably true. The way you just looked at me.
Okay. 1977, age 31. He is the head of a criminal investigation.
Is he investigating himself?
So, he hands out these work assignments to all of his workers, and they go out and about. Okay? So, this dude takes his lunch, he gets on a plane, he flies to Johannesburg. Okay?
Okay.
On his lunch.
Okay. On his lunch.
And then, he puts on a wig and a beard, he walks into a bank, pulls a gun on the cashier, he hands her a bag, she fills it up with money. Only the cashier knows what's happening at this point.
Because he's hush hush about
it. Yeah. And then he walks out, gets in the car, goes to the airport, gets on the plane, goes back to work, and then goes back to Johannesburg and interrogates the teller. Oh. Just rocked.
So he literally... Well, he was investigating himself.
Yes. Yes, he was.
That one on the head.
He was. And, yeah. So, he continued this for 3 years, on and off, robbing banks on his days off and on his lunch break. And then he would turn around and investigate them.
That's pretty
good. Sounds like a pretty good
idea.
Yep. And then he meets a friend named Carl von Deventer.
Yeah.
So, he decides he needs a way to launder this money. So, him and Carl are going to start a souvenir shop.
Okay.
And
a souvenir of what?
Just souvenirs of South Africa.
Okay.
So, they get the souvenir shop going, and, you know, they're not selling a lot, but money's coming in. Money's coming in. Carl doesn't make this connection.
It's like the mattress places that pop up everywhere. You know them laundromats.
So, this is a police officer with a souvenir shop.
Okay. Police officer.
Laundering money. Gets away with it for 3 years. And then one night, he's having a drink. He's really drunk. And he looks at Carl, and he's like, hey, want to rob a bank?
Yes.
I have a car at an airport with everything in it. We just go, get the stuff, get on a plane, go rob a bank, come back, put everything back in that car, and we just leave. We go. Carl's like, no, man, no. And then...
Damn, why'd it be a Debbie Downer?
And then Andre's like, oh, man, I'm just joking, don't worry about it. Well, guess what?
He did it anyway?
Carl worked for the Bureau of State Security.
Oh, no. How did he not know that?
He was a secret agent.
Oh.
He worked for, and then the acronym.
So did Carl already know, like, that the souvenir place was laundry?
No,
though?
But the gears were rolling.
Oh,
now.
Okay.
So the acronym, that's right, an acronym.
Yeah.
For Bureau of State Security is BOSS.
Boss?
Boss.
Okay.
So he's a secret agent for Boss.
For Boss.
And he remembered him saying there's a car at an airport waiting for him. He said that Andre said he was joking about it, but he's like, you know, he seems kind of serious.
Right.
Let's go check it out.
Let me go look
at it. So he takes it up to his superiors at Boss, and they're like, okay, let's go check it out, see what's happening. So they get there, and they find the car that's registered to Andre. They look through it, and there's a gun, the mask, and maps. And so they leave it there. They're like, okay, let's just sit on it. So they watch it for a couple of weeks, and like 3 weeks later, of course, Andre shows up, gets his stuff out of the car, and goes to the airport. And they're like, all right, he's got to come back.
Right.
This is where he stashes everything. So they just wait. And then when he comes back, they arrest him. So he gets arrested in 1980.
But how can they arrest him if that's all they found was maps and guns?
Because they waited for him to rob the bank, and then he came back.
Oh, okay. I got you.
And he was literally caught red-handed.
Okay.
Now, if he hadn't got drunk with his friend, who was a secret agent.
Secret agent, man.
He probably would have got away with
right.
International.
Superstar.
He probably got away with it. But, okay, so now we're in 1980. He gets arrested. So it's estimated that he robbed over 30 banks and got over 100,000 rands, which in today, U.S. dollars would have been 186,000.
Which isn't a lot nowadays.
Yeah, but in South Africa it was.
Right. And for the time. It's pretty good money, actually. Yeah.
So, because of his dad's influence, his name wasn't in the papers a lot. So, there's really not a lot of information of how he pulled off these robberies. The only one I could find information on was the first one.
Okay.
And then it doesn't go anymore. But it's estimated he robbed over 30 banks. He was only found guilty of robbing 15 and was sentenced to 75 years. But he only had to serve 17.
They prorated it or whatever.
So he had to serve 17, and he goes to Zonderwaters Maximum Security Prison, which for a former police officer is like a death sentence.
Right.
But not for Andre. While in prison, he pretty much got pretty comfortable there. He got in with the guards, and he got in with prison.
Don't have to pay taxes.
Prisoners.
Free food. Free rent.
And so he actually made some friends, and two of the friends he made was bank robbers Alan Hale, H-E-Y-L, Hale, I think, Hale, and Patrick McCaw. Now, Alan had robbed about 5 banks before he got caught, and then Patrick, I think, robbed 2. So out of the 3 of them, Andres had the most bank robberies right. under his belt. Plus, he was a police officer. So he ended up investigating himself. But anyway, so they're in there for 3 years. And then on August 11th, 1983, Andre and Patrick complain about back pain, so they go to see the doctor. And 3 other inmates go with them. Now, while they're at the clinic, Andre and Patrick overpower the doctor, and they take the car and leave.
Okay.
The other 3 prisoners are like, nah, man, I didn't have anything to do with that. I'm just going to stay right here. Fuck that shit. So they get away. And then on October 31st, 1983, they go back to that prison and break out Alan.
Alan.
So now all 3 of them are out. Okay, so now we have the standard game. Standard, that's right, S-T-A-N-D-E-R, standard. The standard game. We have Andre, who's 37, we have Patrick, who's 34, and we have Alan, who's 32.
Oh.
And of course, they get right back to robbing the banks. And of course, Andre had the most experience robbing banks.
He's the mastermind.
He's pretty much the leader of the group.
Him's mega mind.
Yeah. And he had a couple rules, like no shouting, no violence. You get in, you get out.
You get in and you don't
make a scene. And apparently, they were so good at not making a scene that security guards would hold doors open for them while they leave.
Really?
Yeah.
And it was just like, okay, guys, have a good night.
Yeah, have a good day. While the teller is over there shaking in her boots that she was just held up
at gunpoint. Don't piss down her leg. You didn't see her in the bag. I couldn't do that. You don't see me? You don't see me putting the damn money in the bag? Hold the damn door open for no.
Have you seen that TikTok? Where they're like, yo, you're robbing a bank? You want to just cut me side? Like, I'll help you. I can do whatever you want. Have you seen that one? No. I don't care about these
That's
people.
Great.
Do you make a lot out of this?
Do you make a lot out of this?
But,
yeah.
Where was I?
People held the door for him.
Oh, yeah. So,
I just had to get so excited. Yeah.
Okay. So,
we act brand new at this.
I like how our first podcast was 45 minutes, and now we can barely make it to 10.
To 10.
All right, anyway. So, the security guards would hold the door open for them. And again, I think because of his father's influence, there wasn't really a lot of detail about how the robberies were pulled off, except it was get in, get out, don't make a fuss, get what you can.
Right.
And it doesn't really say how much they got away with. But things were getting pretty heated. Their names and pictures were in the paper. They kind of become well known who they are. Everyone was out looking for the standard game gang.
Claude.
Yeah. No, Andre, Patrick, and Alan. I've been listening.
There's no bodies. It's all Clyde.
It's Andre, Patrick. They're not as vicious as Clyde, okay? They get in, they get out, they don't make a scene.
Okay.
Clyde makes a scene.
Okay.
I think the pizza's burning.
I think the pizza is burning.
Shit. Hold on. Let me go check the pizza. All right, pizza's safe. Back at it. All right, so they quickly...
It's okay, go.
What?
Just going to say, I don't think that they needed to know.
Okay, anyway. Trying to get through this. All right. So, there's quickly gaining popularity, and Andre was like, we need to get the fuck out of here. So, I'm going to fly down to Florida, get shit ready. You guys take a yacht and sail to Florida. I'm going to fly down there, get it ready. You take a yacht, sail down there. So, Andres is, boop, this is January of 1984. He's in Florida. They've been out of jail for December. 3 months. And then, you know, about the end of January 1984, he's going to Florida. And so they get a yacht. Alan and Patrick get a yacht. And, of course, they have fun on this yacht. They bring a little prostitute. I'm sorry, sex worker back. Sex worker back. And she recognizes them, so she goes to the police.
That dirty,
now,
dirty.
Alan gets word of this, and he tells Patrick, he's like, we gotta go. Like, we've been made. Let's go.
Killer.
Patrick's like, I ain't fucking going. I'm gonna stay right here on this yacht. And Alan's like, bitch, I'm going to Greece. So he goes to Greece.
What the hell?
I don't know why he goes to Greece, but he goes to Greece and he robs a few banks in Greece, but we'll come back to him.
Okay.
Now, Andre is in Florida. Patrick's on the boat, the yacht, and then Alan went to Greece.
What happened to the prostitute? Sex worker.
She told the police and now she's back on the streets. So the police come to the yacht and they find Patrick there. But Patrick's not going to go out easily, so they end up getting a shootout and Patrick dies.
I knew somebody was going to die in this story. Oh, Patrick's poor dead. Patrick.
He's dead. So, anyway.
Damn it, Patrick.
Now, they at this point, they start to get in Interpol. Interpol, right? That's a thing.
What?
Interpol. Okay. I'm saying that right? Right? Yeah. Involved. And they get Andre's name out there. And then the get wind that he's in Florida. So. So on February 13, 1984, Andre was finally caught. But when he was caught, he fought with the officer that was arresting him, and the pistol went off.
More people died.
End up shooting Andre, and he died. He bled out before the ambulance could come.
Started wearing the drug.
Yeah, so he died. I think it was a stomach wound.
Oh.
But he bled out in Florida, of all places.
Oh, no. Poor Andre.
Florida. And then Alan was caught a year later. He served time in England. Before being extradited to South America, he was released in 2005, and then he died in April of 2020.
Oh, Jesus.
So they're all dead. But they were only the gang for 3 months. But while they were the gang for 3 months, they gained quite the popularity. A lot of people kind of saw him as a Robin Hood. I swear to God. As a Robin Hood figure, because when he got arrested, he tried to say that one of the reasons he started robbing banks is because he didn't like how things were done in South Africa. He didn't like the fact that everything was segregated. He tried to say that he was part of the police that had to shoot a bunch of unarmed black people, but they couldn't collaborate.
Collaborate.
Yeah. Collaborate that story and then say that he wasn't there. And then he tried to say that he was just unhappy with how everything was run there, and he was trying to dismantle the system. That's why he robbed a bank. So people see him as kind of like a Robin Hood kind of hero person. There was a movie made about him. There's a lot of information.
Was it Robin Hood Man in Tights?
No. It was Stander.
Oh, okay. I've never seen that. You ever seen it?
No.
Okay.
I was going to watch it, and then I was like, nah.
Just on my Mountain Dew bottle so far, I'll watch Bob Barker.
I've been binge-watching The Vampire Diaries for some reason. Like, hardcore. With my rose of Mountain Dew.
I'll and watch the scary movies
I've
today.
Ate, like, 5 cans of cheese dip.
Well.
It's called depression.
Depression.
Anyway. There's a lot of books and movies about him. If you're interested, you can look them up. But yeah, he was a police officer by day and a crime fighter during his, crime
doer
during his lunch break.
He was a crime fighter.
Not even at night.
He was the opposite of what
it was during his lunch break. So yeah, sorry, our podcasts are a little rough. We,
getting back at it.
We're getting back at it.
Yeah.
Honestly, I hate doing the research right now. I just ordered a book that I'm going to read about a very interesting, heister, born in Ohio.
Oh,
pizza's ready. So that's gonna be very interesting. So I'll come back stronger and better than ever next time.
I can't promise that I'm going to.
We both have been mentally fucked lately.
I am not going to order any books, but we might do a fun one.
Oh, I think it'd be an interesting book.
Did Jimmy write you?
Yes,
Jimmy.
All right, so we do have handles. We have, I cannot remember what this.
HeistandSlicePodcast@gmail.com.
Oh, wait.
That's our Instagram, HeistandSlicePodcast.
Yeah. We do have some new listeners. We have avid, is that a word? Am I using that right? God. Listeners in California, Australia, the United Kingdom, Ireland.
Your dog's eating French fries. Hey!
Who left French fries in the cabinet? Shit. Anyway,
we have avid listeners from
Ireland, United Kingdom, Australia, Canada, and the United States. So thank you for listening. If you have any heist or slice in your area that you want us to cover, send us an email at
heistandslice@gmail.com.
There you go. Nora on cue right there.
That's the only time I will ever be.
Yeah. So, yeah. Not our greatest. But
not our worst.
Not our worst. I feel like that one episode I was super manic was probably the worst one.
I don't know. I really like that one.
The Oppendorfer?
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 I thought that was Face Down in the Snow.
I feel like that was our worst one. Face Down in the Snow.
What do you mean?
What do you mean?
All right.